The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
News. Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded. It's time now for the Drive Home with Brian Bales on WAVA. From the WAVA-FM Passport Auto Group Studios, today's Drive Home is made possible by our good friends at Passport Automotive Group, an outstanding group of dealerships throughout the DMV, including BMW, Infiniti, Mazda, Mini Cooper, Nissan, and Toyota. As well, they have a state-of-the-art collision center, all which are ready right now to serve your auto needs. So if you're considering the purchase of a new or certified pre-owned vehicle, Passport stands ready to meet those needs right now. You can find out more by going to PassportAuto.com. That's PassportAuto.com. And now here's Pastor Brian Bales for your driving pleasure on WAVA.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining me here on The Drive Home. This is, as I just said, Brian Bales, and I'm so glad that whether you are driving in your car or you're listening on your radio from home or wherever you may be getting WAVA, we are just glad to have you here. When I say we, I don't just mean me, obviously. I mean me and Julie, my producer, who's behind the glass, who makes all the magic happen here. And so we got a good show for you today, because on every Monday that I find myself as with an opportunity to come in to wherever you're listening at, there's this hope, this desire that I have is to bring you some good news. But not just any good news, the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel for our city, and of course, the good news of the gospel for you. And on today's show, we're going to talk about Jesus in lots of ways. After the break, after we get through the first break at least, we're going to have Derek Massengale from Market Maker Ministries talking about what it looks like to actually see business as a calling. Did you know that? That business actually is a calling, just like working at a church is a calling, or working at a radio station is a calling, or working at your IT or at home or wherever you might be. I know you're going to enjoy the conversation. I enjoy anytime I have a chance to interact with Derek. He's going to bring a lot of wisdom for us to consider and to apply in our life. And then as we get to the 5 o'clock hour, I'm going to hear from Pastor Lee Towns. And as you and I have this sort of virtual conversation with him, he's going to talk about the importance of what it looks like in our lives to share Jesus. Now, we know that we're supposed to share Jesus. That's the Great Commission, right? Go into all the world, teach the gospel, disciple people. We're aware of that. But sometimes it's a lot more challenging than what we might think it would be. And certainly, as we make our way to this Sunday, and if you don't know what this Sunday is coming up, it's the day we set aside as a country to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the day we call Easter. As we get towards this Sunday, it is probably the easiest day on the calendar, where we can talk to that friend, that neighbor, that coworker, that family member, whatever it might be, and engage them about what Easter means, and maybe, just maybe, invite them to church. And so we're going to talk to Lee about that, and we're going to find out more about how we can grow. But I want to talk to you, if I can, for just a few moments about the power of a name. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned this, and I wanted to circle back. For all of you faithful listeners who've been listening here to WAVA for many, many, many years, you know that for over 25 years, this show and this time slot was called the Don Crow Show. And Don is such a wonderful man of God. And Don, if you're listening today, my prayer, my hope for you again is that we see you again here real soon and that you heal up, because you're a gift to so many. And I know that when you would hear his name and you would hear this show, it would communicate something to you. It communicate a name you could trust. It would communicate someone who would challenge you to get informed, but not just get informed, but to also to get involved. And I know when we call this show The Drive Home, it communicates something. It communicates, hey, it's during a time where lots of people are driving home, or maybe if you're teleworking, you're commuting from your couch to your kitchen table to your office to maybe the refrigerator, who knows, back and forth. But it's communicating something. But as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, have you ever thought about what the names of God communicate? Because when we look in Scripture, the names of God that when he gives it to us are meant to communicate to us who God actually is and his character and his identity, not just who we might think that he is. It's a good question to ponder. Are we living according to who God says he is, or are we living according to who we think he is? Because if we get that wrong, it has significant impact. It reminds me of many years ago, I had a friend who I knew who lived in Canton, Ohio. That's where I'm from, and there's really not a lot in Canton, Ohio, if you've ever been there, save really kind of one thing. That's where the Pro Football Hall of Fame exists. It's a great exhibit. It's a great time. If you're ever around Canton, Ohio, you should go. I enjoy it. But basically, one week in a year, Canton, Ohio gets really, really busy, and all of these professional football players, legends, people in the Hall of Fame make their way into town. So it's not unusual on that weekend in August to maybe see one of them out and about. And so it happened years and years ago where one of my friends was at a restaurant and they ran into Troy Aikman. Now, remember, this is pre the cell phone days, so that means you had to have an actual physical camera where you'd have to go and take a picture of someone, and then you would send it to someplace, the drugstore, and they would record it, or rather they would take that picture and they would develop it, and then you'd have to see, oh, did it turn out? Was my thumb in the way? Whatever it might be. That's how long ago I'm talking about. Well, they happened to see Troy Aikman, and they gave a conversation with him, and it was a really pleasant conversation, and they convinced Troy Aikman to take a picture with him. Now, my friend was super excited because her dad was a Dallas Cowboys fan, and she just told her dad about this whole conversation, got a picture with him, all of that sort of thing. And so once that the pictures actually got developed, she was super excited to show her dad this picture. And so now imagine she grabs the pictures from wherever she got them developed, and she brings them back to her father, and she shows her father the picture. And her father, instead of being excited, looks a little less than excited. I don't know exactly how that moment played out, but as my friend tells the story, her dad looked through the pictures and looked at that picture of her and Troy Aikman and then said this, "Honey, that's not Troy Aikman. That's John Elway." What I find hilarious about that conversation is she spent this whole time calling John Elway Troy Aikman, and he just went with it. But here's the thing I want us to get from this story. She got a lot of things right. Both of them were football players. Both of them were Hall of Fame football players. Both of them were quarterbacks. Both of them had won Super Bowls. But ultimately, she was way off. Why? Well, because who a person is not the same thing as what a person has done. They'd both done the same things, but clearly they weren't the same person. So hear me. Just know this, your identity is not the same thing as what you have done. You are not defined by your past or your present or your future. You are defined by what Jesus calls you, your name, what God calls you, whether he calls you son or daughter. That is your identity. But truthfully, what I want to say is that when we misunderstand God and his names, we're going to have a problem. And there's this one name I want to talk about that God gives himself in Exodus chapter 34. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 14, God says this, "For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." Now, we can have some problems because rarely do we think in our context about this idea of jealousy being a good thing, right? There's whole movies, books, songs written about this idea of jealousy. And when you look it up in the dictionary, you might run across this, the feeling of resentment against someone, that being the definition. And if this is what scripture means by saying that God is jealous, then we got a problem, because how can a good and perfect God be jealous? Kind of feel that tension? In fact, there are several places in scripture that condemn resentment, condemn bitterness. So we got to unravel this tension of why God would call him jealous, himself jealous then. And really we need to think about it through cultural lenses. And I know you know this, that sometimes in other cultures, words don't mean the same thing. If we define jealousy through the culture of 2024, and we define it through the lens of resentment, it's saying that God is envious. But when it's talking about jealousy and use of God in scripture, it's not a negative envy type of thing that forms resentment or bitterness. It's better understood in the positive light this way, that God is zealous. He wants good things for you. He has a deep fervor for you. But why? Because knowing that God is still good and jealous, and knowing his name is jealous, maybe just like you know Don Crow's name or you know the Drive Home's name, but it doesn't necessarily tell you anything more than a name and it's good. It doesn't tell you why a name is the name. And here's the answer I want us to understand. When we think of the fact that God is jealous, there's two reasons. Number one, God wants what's best for those he loves. Scripture is riddled with examples of God wanting the best for his people. Jeremiah 29, John chapter 10 are two examples. And what's best for us is always connected to who God is and what he will do with us. He realizes in this life, folks, that there are many things and people who might promise what only he can deliver. And he does not want us to have less. So he's jealous for that relationship. He's zealous for it. And also, he's jealous because God wants his name to be represented well. You see, God cares about all of us, and he also cares about his name. The people of Israel during that time, they were God's representation on the earth, just as we, as the believers, are God's representation now. It says we're in Matthew chapter 5 that we are the light of the world. And the way that we conduct ourselves reflects on the character of God. When we put other things in front of God, we don't look like we're supposed to look to the world. And as a result, the world doesn't look at God in the way that he is, but in the way that they think he is. They may begin to say, here are all the things that he's done, but they may not know who he is. And what someone has done and what God has done is not the same thing as his identity and his character. So here's what I want to challenge you in your life. Are there things in your life that get in the way of his name? Are there things in your life that we would call in the Old Testament idols, something that comes before God that then keeps God's best from happening in your life because you've substituted something for what is best, him, in your life? Are there things in your life that you accept to be true that are idols that you put before God that are keeping you from representing God well to a world that needs to hear it? When we talk about Jesus, we represent Jesus, and we represent his name. And do we represent it well? Well, that's a thought I'm going to ask you to consider, and it's something that I'm sure I'm going to go back to from time to time. But for today, I'm going to let you go on this. I hope and I pray that you know that his name, Jealous, is a good thing for you because he loves you and wants what's best, and he wants his name to be represented well. Well, folks, that's just kind of the beginning of our time together, and I hope that as we go through our time together the rest of the day, that you're going to see that his name is represented well as we come back after the break, talking with Derek Massengale, and then, of course, at the 5 o'clock hour, talking to Pastor Lee Towns, so what it looks like to share our faith with our neighbor, represent God's name well, and invite them into something deeper in a conversation about who Jesus is, maybe invite them even to church. And so this is The Drive Home. We're here on a Monday on the 25th of March, and we're just getting started. So thanks for being with me. I'll be back after the break here on The Drive Home at WAVA 105.1 FM.
One way to develop faith in your children is to think out loud.
For WAVA, here's Family Life Blended's Ron Deal.
You know, thinking out loud is simply sharing with kids how you came to a certain decision. Let's say you just decided not to buy something for yourself because you felt it was more kingdom-minded to use the money for a good cause. Well, the next time you're in the car, think out loud. Hey, buddy, we decided not to buy that big screen TV. We decided to use the money for a service project instead. You know, I just think this honors God. Buying another thing for us really doesn't. You see, thinking out loud shapes the faith of your children by showing them how life and faith connect. And there's a bonus. When step-parents think out loud, your kids see your heart and they grow to trust it. Hey, you're in the car right now. Start thinking out loud. For Family Life Blended, I'm Ron Deal.
To find out more, visit FamilyLifeBlended.com.
Ad paid for by America First Tax Group. Attention! If you or your business is behind in filing your tax returns, or if you owe over $10,000 in back taxes to the IRS, please listen carefully. The IRS does not joke around and will not stop their collection efforts. If you're tired of the IRS letters, levies, liens, or wage garnishments and would like to get a fresh start, we can help. Due to the financial hardships in the country,
the IRS is making it easier than ever to settle tax problems for those who owe more than $10,000. We can help settle your delinquent tax problems, end all collections, and may even reduce your back taxes significantly. Even if you can't afford to pay your back taxes, you can still get the help you need. We've helped thousands of taxpayers just like you, but you must call 800-852-3467 today to stop your tax problem from getting worse. The information is free and the help is real. Call 800-852-3467. That's 800-852-3467. Again, 800-852-3467.
Hey, it's Gregory Sells from WAVA 105.1 here. Another local family has been impacted by using the amazing Sell with Certainty program that Debbie, Sarah, and Reynolds Empower Home Team with Keller Williams offers. William and Christina had a growing family, and they needed to sell in order to close on their new build. They had a low cash offer on hand, but were concerned they were leaving money on the table. So they wanted to see what other options were out there. William and Christina were so thankful they looked at all their options, because through the Reynolds Empower Home Team Sell with Certainty program, they were able to net 22% more. Debbie and Sarah's Sell with Certainty program is proven, and it guarantees that your home will sell and you will get paid twice. Call Debbie, Sarah, and Reynolds Empower Home Team to Sell with Certainty and have confidence that you will get top dollar. Call today to Sell with Certainty, 844-881-SOLD. That's 844-881-SOLD, or visit sellwithcertaintydmv.com. That's sellwithcertaintydmv.com.
And welcome back to The Drive Home with Brian Bales. In this latter half of the 4 o'clock hour on this Monday, we're going to pick up and talk about a subject that I think maybe you've heard talked about, but do you really embrace it? And that is the truth that God says to us, no matter where we are and whatever vocation that we're in, He has a purpose for us for something that is good. And my guest for the rest of this hour is a man who's exhibited that in so many ways to so many people. And he's also the author of a book called Business as a Calling, Bringing Your Whole Self, Body, Soul, and Spirit to Work. And you can find out more about him at marketmakerministries.com. And of course, his name with me today is Derek Massengale. Derek, thanks for being with us, taking some time to be with us on the show, and of course, to encourage our listeners here on The Drive Home.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it, Brian.
Well, let me tell listeners a little bit about you. I've known you for some time now, so I'm already pre-impressed before we even get on this. But I want them to hear that what you're bringing to the table for our discussion around living on mission wherever God places you, certainly in the marketplace and why that matters, that you're not talking about this from some sort of a vacuum. You're graduate of the University of South Florida, Bachelor of Science in Computer Engineering, but you spent over 35 years working in engineering and business technology consulting fields. You serve clients across numerous commercial industries and federal government agencies. During your career, you were blessed with opportunities to launch space shuttles, lead business and technology transformation programs, and of course, lead an organization of over 5,000 people with revenues over $1 billion annually. And that would be impressive enough. Just to be truthful, I think a lot of people could stop there. But what I always love about where God has called you and what you're doing now in your life is that during your career, you took time to study and understand how to marry this spiritual journey that we're all on with your professional journey. And lots of times people don't take that time to figure that out. And after 20 plus years of study and work, you put together a 10-part class at the church that you were at the time to share what you'd learned with other professionals who had similar questions about how to do this, marry their faith with their careers. And then, of course, that's where the book came from that we just mentioned earlier, Business as a Calling, Bringing Your Whole Self, Body, Soul, and Spirit to Work. And so you have helped so many professionals navigate this tension and understand how to do it well, and you're going to help us navigate that as well. So I want to start here with this question. It seems kind of basic, but I hope you're going to answer it for us in a way that someone not just intellectually or theologically knows this, but also practically have lived this. Does business matter to God?
Yeah, thanks for that, Brian. Absolutely, business matters to God, and it matters to God for a number of reasons. Mm. Some of them really practical, and some of them, you know, on the spiritual side as well. But, you know, as I went through the journey to figure this out and figure out how I could arrive at some level of comfort on how I'm marrying the two things, as you discussed, you know, the first thing that I saw was, you know, in the very first chapter of the book of the Bible, Genesis 1:28, God commands, the first command he gives to man is to work. He said, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it using all its vast resources in the service of God and man. You know, that was pretty clear to me that there's a place for work. So if we think about business, obviously work within the confines of a business, it aligns with that. But what it also tells us is it tells us why we should be working and how we do it in a way that blesses God. And the reason we're working is to take those resources and the talents that God's given us and produce products and services that bless our fellow man and do it in a way that blesses God. And so once I saw that, it was like, okay, I have a better understanding now that I'm not just doing something to satisfy, you know, my desire or my goals in life, but there's some real value here and God expects us to step into those types of roles and produce.
Yeah, and I love your reminder there of what you gave us there, going back to the very first book in Genesis chapter 1. This was pre-fall, which means that when God created work, there was a purpose in it that wasn't the result of the fall. There was something there, and it matters. But I think for many, maybe it is a lack of theological understanding. Maybe it's a lack of practical experience. Maybe it's the lack of just education, like someone like you could help us understand a bit better. They hear the term work and they don't think of it through this blessed opportunity to bring the kingdom into wherever God has sent us to. They think of it through a different lens. And so for many people, and maybe your experience was the same for some period of time, who exist in, I don't know if I like this term, but I'm using it anyway, the church world. They kind of, for many, feel like there's sort of two separate lives. There's a church world and there's a business world, and they're really challenged to put those together as the kingdom world, wherein the church is in and the business is in as well. Would you talk about that challenge, both how you've experienced and how you've seen others who've walked the journey or trying to walk the journey that you're walking deal with that challenge?
Sure. Well, the interesting thing for me was, you know, I kind of alluded to it in the last response, was as I was looking at this, I was trying to understand, am I actually doing something, taking the things that I'm learning in my spiritual journey and my growth and applying it to something that's unworthy, you know, that God doesn't want us to participate in.
Okay.
So I had to first get past that hurdle, which was, you know, largely tied to what I just shared. But then the next step was, okay, if God did command us to work, how do I take these things that I'm learning and apply them into my career? And, you know, is that all right? Well, I spent a few years, quite frankly, looking into that and trying to understand. And one day, God said to me, go look up the word ministry in the dictionary. Mm. So I went and looked it up. And the word ministry simply means to serve. And so once I saw that, I was like, wow, I get it. I know how I can have a ministry in the world of business. And it's true. It's through service.
Yeah.
And it also, to go back to your question, Brian, showed me that, you know, everyone has a ministry.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because we can serve no matter where we're at and what position we're in. If I'm a housewife and I'm at home, I'm in service. Mm-hmm. I'm in service to my family, right? That is my ministry.
Yeah.
So once I saw that, that helped me understand how to really start marrying what I was learning spiritually with what I was doing professionally and how I could actually serve and benefit those colleagues and customers in the community in which I served.
And so one of the things I hear you highlighting for me is this importance for us to grasp that work itself is valuable, not just valuable as a means to an end. And by saying that, I mean this. I think, you know, daily, you know what I do in and out. I'm a pastor at Christian Fellowship Church in Ashburn. I also spent some time here on WAVA on the drive home and on Good News for the City on the weekends. But it'd be really easy for someone to think through the lens of, okay, professional, and I do use that word very loosely, professional ministry is what counts. You get sort of second class ministry and work because the purpose of you being in business isn't because it's valuable in and of itself, but maybe you can go make some money and then you could pass that resource on to the places where it's really happening. Now, I know not that not to be true. You know that not to be true. But don't you think that it's really easy to accidentally receive that as the message in our lives, that that's what really matters and that's what ministry really looks like, and maybe miss some of the opportunities God has for us then?
Yeah, I think so, Brian. Again, I have to relate it to something personal, and then as I've talked to folks in the profession.
Yeah.
You know, working, and yeah, we're making a living and we're providing for our family, and theoretically we're also, you know, giving to the church and to good works. But that's not all that God has for us in that type of a role. Mm. You know, if it truly is a ministry, which I believe that it is,
yeah,
there's service there, right? And you have the opportunity to interact with, you know, depending on your role, and it changes over time, you know, more and more influence you'll get in those positions. And you have an opportunity to you know, to interact with those folks in a way that's positive and in a way that's aligned with, you know, how Scripture talks mm-hmm. about us interacting. And in the last chapter of my book is about love and how to bring love into the business world, yeah. right?
Which, and not a lot of people put those two words together, right? Or those two sentences, how to bring love into and then add business world on the end.
That's right. But you can't be in service without love,
mm.
right? So when you think about how you're interacting potentially differently with folks in a professional environment, you know, you walking in service and in God's love towards them, they recognize that there's a difference that you bring that they're not seeing from other leadership. Multiple times in my career, I had folks come to me and say, you know, you're different in how you react to the situation in that situation. Well, that gives you a perfect opportunity to share, you know, Jesus with someone mm-hmm. because they're actually seeing you walk it out before you ever really talk about it, right? You're living it. You're walking in love with those folks, and your goal is to serve them in your position of influence and not to have them serve you.
That reminds me of that section of Scripture in 1 Peter that says, always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that we have in us. And the implication of that verse that Peter was writing is that we are living such lives in the environments that we're in that somebody wants to know. And certainly loving through your job and business and treating people made in the image of God as if they are made in the image of God, and treating people and caring for them as Jesus died for them, because Jesus did die for them, is a loving thing. Loving your neighbor as yourself. I say that a lot on this show, but that sounds like it's so key to the things that we're talking about. And what I hear you answering this question that I was going to ask you is this. Is, does God call someone to a career in business? And I think we hear from this conversation already, that's a resounding yes, correct?
Yeah, I believe it's a resounding yes. And it took me, you know, years, maybe a decade even, to get to the point where I could clearly see that scripturally. And then I could also see God blessing the work that I was doing. I mean, that was the other thing. You know, when I was hearing about professionals in ministry, most of the time it's somebody leaving their profession and going into some sort of a mission role.
Sure.
And yeah. I'm sitting there going, gee, I don't feel God's telling me to do that. Am I looking at this from the wrong perspective? And it took me a while to get the perspective. No, he has me there for a reason. And again, when we're talking about, you know, a ministry and loving folks, and we could talk about this more shortly, but it is about how can I help them reach their goals, and how can I help them employ the talents God's given them in a way that's going to be productive for them and also satisfying.
And that's what we're going to do when you come back after the break. I'm talking here with Derek Massengale of Market Maker Ministries about business as a calling and how to help others. Of course, that's our goal for us and for you on this show we call The Drive Home. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back in just a few moments here on WAVA 105.1 FM.
This is Albert Mogler for townhall.com. Vice President Kamala Harris recently went to Minnesota in order to make history, so the White House claimed. And she did make history, to be sure. She became the first U.S. president or vice president to visit an operational abortion facility. Harris's move becomes the latest forward advance of the culture of death. It's a turning point in campaign strategy and the optics of the Democratic Party. Now that Harris, accompanied by Minnesota's governor and a member of Congress, has made this campaign stop, such events will become standard fare for Democratic candidates. A wall has been breached, and now any Democratic candidate who does not make a stop at an abortion facility will be considered out of step by both party activists and abortion advocates. That's just how campaign strategy works. The vice president intended to send a signal. She did send a signal. Kamala Harris and her party are dead set on making abortion central to American culture. That's why Kamala went to the death camp. I'm Albert Mohler.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com and then order your 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your 3-week quick starter pack today. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Be the next success story.
Laura Trump provides a fresh and honest perspective on the issues that matter to you on The Right View podcast, now available on the Salem Podcast Network.
The number of Americans, and I think this is part of the problem right now, the number of Americans getting their news from TikTok quadrupled in the past 3 years. It really kind of terrifies me for what is to come for this country.
Subscribe to The Right View on Apple, Spotify, Google, YouTube, Rumble, or at SalemPodcastNetwork.com.
With the weather changing, March is a critical time to check your home's windows. If yours are cracked or leaking and won't open or stay open, then it's time to call the pros at Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two windows free. There's no limit to how much you could save. Plus, you could save even more with zero down, zero interest, and no payments for 24 months. Window Nation's windows come with a lifetime warranty and can be installed in one day or less. With proven quality and service, it's no wonder thousands of homeowners have trusted Window Nation for their homes, and you can too. So if your old finicky windows and high energy costs from this winter are cutting deep into your finances, don't miss out. With an unlimited buy two, get two free, plus zero down, zero interest, and no payment for 24 months, you can't afford to wait. It's easy. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate today.
Coastal flood advisory in effect through late tonight. Coastal flood watch in effect late tonight through Wednesday afternoon. For tonight, partly cloudy skies, low 38. Tomorrow, times of sun and clouds, high 58. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, low 43. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, a brief shower, high 55. Download the AccuWeather app and check AccuWeather.com often. With the AccuWeather forecast, I'm Drew Shannon.
It's getting harder and harder to make sense out of today's headlines. To stay on top of breaking world and national news with a Christian worldview and a faith-based perspective on what it means, turn to ChristianHeadlines.com. Log on to ChristianHeadlines.com for the very latest news, and then sign up for our free daily newsletter to stay one step ahead of what's happening. Get out of the mainstream media rut with top news and positive headlines every day with ChristianHeadlines.com.
Family challenges? Find encouragement here. 105.1 FM WAVA.
And here we are again on the drive home, and I've been having a conversation with Derek Massengale of Market Maker Ministries, understanding what it means to live out business as a calling. And right before we went to break, you were saying some things about how to know you're called into ministry, what it looks like. Maybe getting that a little bit off right before, because I lose a little bit sometimes in the midst of the commercials. But for Derek, pick up where you left off before we went to break, because I think you're making some important points.
Sure. Yeah, when you think about it again, business as a calling, you know, we've been called to serve, as I mentioned. That's our ministry, mm-hmm. as folks that are in that role. And if God's placed us there, he has an expectation that, you know, we're going to be blessed in mm-hmm. that role. Yeah. And by blessing us, we're going to have the opportunity to bless not only the folks that work with us, but our clients, our customers, and the community in a way that honors him. And, you know, it's interesting, as I was going through this for myself, when I actually looked at the stories of Daniel and Joseph, you know, they were two people that were faithful to God, and they were working in environments that were not godly environments. Yet those leaders saw them deliver results that were superior to anybody else around them and within their leadership teams. And those leaders recognized that there was a spirit of excellence and a mm-hmm. spirit that came from God on them. And it ended up placing them in positions, in both cases for Daniel and Joseph, that were the second in power in the most powerful nations in the world at that time. Now, both of them suffered some really trying challenges from folks around them that were jealous of them and didn't really, you know, like the favor that they were getting from the leaders. But nonetheless, God had their back. And when it was all said and done, they were put in those positions. And in Joseph's case, he was controlling the largest economy in the world at that time.
Yeah.
And he was doing it in a way that blessed not only the Jewish people, but the entire, you know, the entire population of that region.
You know, I want to go back to something that you said a little bit earlier and tie it then here to Daniel and Joseph, that in your experience, and I think it's a common one, that when we hear about people being called into ministry, it's through this lens of I'm leaving the business world and I'm going into some sort of nonprofit or church work. But rather, you just illustrated very well, both for Daniel and for Joseph, they did an amazing ministry in the midst of what we would clearly call a pagan environment, to which I want to make this sort of transition. I think it may be easy to hear someone like you talking about this and without even realizing it, begin to paint that environment in a way that's like, okay, well, at least this environment they was in, while it may not have been a Christian nonprofit or may not have been a church, it was a pro-Jesus environment. Now, I know the environment that he worked in, and I don't want to imply it was anti-Jesus, but it certainly wasn't pro-Jesus. And how have you seen God show up to use you in your career to do good works for him, even in an environment that maybe be analogous some ways to what a modern day Daniel or Joseph environment would be like?
Yeah, I would say, Brian, for me, doing good works for him translated mm-hmm. into doing good works for those around me.
Okay.
Right. And so again, when we talk about service in your ministry, you know, it's service to those that are around you. So, you know, I can make time for folks to mention to them, to help them, to help understand what it is they want to achieve in their careers and look for opportunities for the, to place them into roles that give them those opportunities. I can help lead teams, you know, from using the wisdom of God. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting. I talk about it in my book. You know, the world often confuses God's wisdom with someone's intelligence, which can be farther from the truth, right? Folks would think I'm really smart and I know better, that I'm not. But I do know that, you know, because God placed me there, I can call on him and ask for his wisdom. And over again, he provided that to me. And I actually had folks come up to me many times and say, how did you even think of that? Where did that come from? Right. And I would say, oh, you know, it just kind of came to me, which it did, but it was God's wisdom that was available to me. And when I'm walking in his wisdom, I'm blessing those people that are working with me because, you know, we're being successful in whatever it was we're doing. I'm blessing my customers or my clients because the services or the products I'm producing are solid. And I'm blessing my firm because I'm delivering financial results because we're managing this and leading this in a way that's wise. Right? And because of that, you know, I'm delivering an impact just like Joseph and Daniel did, but, you know, not doing it by proclaiming Jesus as the first thing when I walk into a room.
Right. Now, I want to then also address this, that it could be easy for people to think, okay, well, that applies to Joseph, or that applies to Daniel, or that applies to the guy who's on the drive home with Brian on a Monday, right? It applies to Derek, but it doesn't apply to me. But there's this interesting verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, we or his workmanship. That's not, when it says we, you know, the Apostle Paul isn't talking about just him or just Derek or just Brian or Joseph or Daniel, but he's talking about all of those who've been created in Christ Jesus. It says we're his workmanship, created for good works, which God prepared beforehand. How do you suggest if someone begins to grasp the truth that God has made him for a purpose, and that purpose might be living out in the business world something very specific that he has, how do you suggest that someone begins to discover some of that, no matter where they might be along this journey of their career or their life?
Well, I might be giving a trite answer here, but the first step is to study the Word of God, right? I mean, the amazing things that are in the Word of God in terms of what he has for us and the things that he has available to us to bring to that environment, whatever it is that we're doing, our position of service is phenomenal, right? So, you know, in the book, I have a section in there called Spiritual Fundamentals, where I talk about, one, the importance of the Word of God, and then two, the Holy Spirit and the importance of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And then three, grace, right? And the grace piece of it is, you know, once you understand and believe by faith that you have the righteousness of Christ, and if you go through and look just in Proverbs, the promises that come to God's righteous and the number of verses in there that are talking about what God provides you as a leader with respect to righteousness, for you being righteous, and what he provides to the righteous from a leadership perspective are tremendous. And those are things that you can, you know, one, become familiar with and use that to build your faith, so that when you are stepping into these situations or situations occur within your environment, you have the knowledge of knowing, no, this is going to work out for me.
Yeah, but you said it was trite, but what I've discovered is some of the most trite things are the truthful things. Trite doesn't mean that they're simple. In fact, I've discovered in my life, maybe you have as well, that it's easy to say, get in the Word and listen to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's much more challenging because we have this war going on between our flesh and the Holy Spirit in us wanting to do the right things that he wants us to do, and us doing the things that many times we believe, you know, are the right things. I love how you talked about the difference between God's wisdom and our intelligence. It's a vast difference in that way. As someone is listening right here before we go to break, for you, how do you know when you step out into a moment that God is asking you to step out into that moment, or the Holy Spirit is asking you?
Well, I, you know, again, another trite term we hear often, but it's true, is I try to follow peace, right? And I don't confuse peace with a lack of craziness going on in my mind.
Sure.
It's, where's that peace coming from? And that's, you know, we can talk more about that, about the power of the Holy Spirit. And really, we're a spirit. We live in a body and we have a soul. And when I talk about bringing our whole selves, body, soul, and spirit to work, bringing the Spirit to work with us and God's Spirit is really, I think, a tremendous differentiator for us in terms of the impact that we can have, but also the satisfaction that we get out of what we're doing. And we can talk about that some more after the break.
Yeah, let's do that. And so thank you for encouraging us, Derek. And listener, thanks for hanging with us. We'll be right back after this break. The Drive Home with Brian Bales. We've been talking with Derek Massengill of Market Maker Ministries here on 105.1 WAVA.
I'm Jim Chesko with Your Money Now. Stocks are slightly lower here in the final hour of the Monday session. The Dow Jones Industrials down 162 points, while both the S&P 500 and NASDAQ Composite are down 10 points. A cash-strapped startup electric vehicle company confirms that talks about a potential deal with a large automaker have collapsed. Fisker's announcement prompted a 28% plunge in its stock price. It trades below a dime, and then a trading halt. Fisker is searching for strategic options in the wake of the collapse of the deal talks. It didn't name the automaker it had been speaking with. Americans can't seem to get enough of weight loss drugs despite their limited insurance coverage and hefty price tag of about $1,000 a month. But some patients are willing to pay more out of pocket than others, and it strongly correlates to one's income. An Evercore ISI survey says nearly 60% of people surveyed who make $250,000 per year or more said the maximum amount they would pay for these medications is $300. That's your money now.
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk, too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
This is Rich Lee for WAVA and Bible League International. The gospel is changing hearts in regions of the world like Asia, Africa, Latin America, and the Middle East. But many countries in these regions have very few Christian bookstores, big box stores, or online retailers to drop Bibles into their villages. So it's nearly impossible to find what is so basic to walking with Christ. And that's having God's Word. That's why we're partnering with the Bible League to send Bibles to nearly 7,000 waiting Christians. $5 sends one Bible, $60 sends 12, and $100 sends Bibles to 20 Christians. And every gift will be matched, regardless of size. Help us bless nearly 7,000 Bible-less believers through our shared campaign. The world needs the Word. Bibles for the nations. Give generously today by calling 800-YES-WORD. That's 800-937-9673. 800-YES-WORD. Or click the Bible League banner at WAVA.com.
Well, this is The Drive Home, and we're talking with Derek Massengill here on this Monday about business as a calling. In his book, Business is a Calling, Bringing Your Whole Self, Body, Soul, and Spirit to Work, you can find more out about that book and his ministry and how he helps all of us understand how God has made us at marketmakerministries.com. Derek, as we find ourselves getting near the end of this 4 o'clock hour, there's a couple of things that I want to make sure that we're able to hit on, because I know as I've interacted with you over the years and we've had conversations over one or two breakfast burritos, I do believe that's happened at Anita's, is that there are some concepts that people need to truly grasp if they're going to be able not just to intellectually think about living out their calling in the business world, but actually do it. Can you share some of those with our listeners?
Sure. We've talked about a couple of them already. One of them is, you know, that everyone does have a ministry, and that simply means you're going to serve, or God desires you to serve in whatever the role that is. But one of the other things that I think is tremendously important is understanding, as we, you know, went into break, I said that, you know, we're a spirit, we live in a body, and we have a soul, and our souls, our mind, will, and our emotions. But God works and talks to us through his spirit, talking to our spirit.
Yeah.
And there's a great verse in Proverbs 20:27 that says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord." And if you step back and think about that for a second, you know, a candle, what is it? Well, it's illumination. Well, our spirit is what God uses to illuminate for us his word, and also what he's speaking to us about a situation that we're encountering. You know, the word doesn't tell us how to interact with every situation that we come into contact with on a daily basis, but the Holy Spirit's there to help us, you know, help guide us through those decisions that we have to make that aren't clearly black and white defined in the Word of God.
Yeah.
And having a recognition that God's spirit is in us when we were born again, as Peter said in Acts, you know, once we're born again, God's spirit comes and resides in us, and his spirit is constantly talking to our spirit, not our mind, but our spirit. He's illuminating things for us. And so being sensitive to that and recognizing that, you know, even in the craziness that's going on in the day, how to start recognizing when God's Holy Spirit is prompting us in a specific direction as it relates to some of the challenges that we have to deal with.
And I think that's what you're talking about when you say bringing your whole self to work. What have you seen happen as you've engaged with people and they have moved from bringing just part of their self, but their whole self, you know, their body, their soul, and their spirit to work? What sort of changes have you just seen happen, and how can you encourage others to do the same?
Well, a couple of things, Brian. I think that it brings more peace for those folks, and it brings a level of confidence in knowing that, you know, God's with them. He has their back, and he has a desire for them to succeed in whatever situation they're in. Trying to do that all on your own, that's very nerve-wracking, and, you know, there's a lot of stress involved there. And I'm not saying that there's not stress involved even when we're trying to walk in the spirit, but what you can see is folks react to those situations differently when they're being led by the spirit or seeking to be led by the spirit and walking in the way that God has a desire for them within that situation.
You know, I think I love your differentiation there. It doesn't mean that there aren't going to still be things, because it can be easy to begin to assume that, well, we're walking in step with the Spirit, so all the stuff goes away. But I'm reminded that the safest place to Peter to ever have been when he was actually out on the water in the midst of all the things with the very presence of God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. And for us, that's the challenge. We have the presence of God in us as believers. Everywhere we go, we're reminded of the verse in the Old Testament says, I will never leave you or forsake you. That is so true in the New Testament. As believers, he never does. Wherever we go, there he is. So his presence is with us. So I think there's something about not just intellectually tipping a cap or theologically tipping a cap towards God's presence is in us, but living in such a way that we're actively relying on the very presence of God that's with us. Because even in the midst of the craziness of the waves and the winds, it's the safest place and the best place to be, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's with anything else. I mean, we're walking through this, and we're going to continually get better at doing it. Or we're going to continue to see how God steps into certain areas, and that's going to build our faith. And so what I've seen over time for me personally is, you know, even though my mind might be racing 1,000 miles an hour, it doesn't mean my mouth has to be at the same time.
I need to write that one down. That's a good one right there. Yeah.
You know, and I can rest in knowing that God's going to have something here for me and how to navigate it. And what that translated to me, or for me in my career, is I had multiple people come up to me during my career and say, man, you're so calm. You're so relaxed. Now, my mind was not calm and I wasn't relaxed on the inside, but that's what was being projected. And that was only being projected because, one, you know, I knew God was with me. And two, I knew that it was his desire for me and this team to be successful in whatever it was we do. And that kind of goes back to, if you look at both Joseph and Daniel, right? They were in some very trying situations, but God placed them there because he didn't just want to bless them. He wanted to bless everything around them. And so he has that same picture for us wherever he places us. And bringing your whole self, your body, soul, and spirit to a situation allows you to bring calmness. It allows you to bring God's wisdom into situations where a lot of people are not comfortable and they are very worried and they are concerned, but it whether they're followers of Christ or not, it doesn't matter. God still wants to bless them.
Yeah.
And he will use you to do it if you make yourself available to it.
Well, personally, I just have to say thank you for blessing us by allowing God to use you today right here on the drive home to just remember the importance of what it's like that God has called you and put you in a place and you're there for a purpose. And business, yes, is one of those places that God does call you. And listeners, I do encourage you, check out his book wherever you get your books. It's called Business as a Calling by Derek Massengale. The subtitle is Bringing Your Whole Self, Your Body, Soul, and Spirit to Work. Of course, you can get the book and also find out speaking engagements and those ways to connect. Could you find out that at marketmakerministries.com? Is that correct, Derek?
Yes, you can. Thanks, Brian.
Do you have anything coming that you want to let people know about before I let you go?
No, I just have some more interviews on radio coming up. And I do have messages that I place out on the website that folks can download and listen to.
Yeah. And so if you've been blessed by what you've heard today on this radio show, I'm sure you're going to be blessed on other radio shows with different hosts, listening to them, but also get on the website, hear about some of the stuff that he's put up there to help you walk through that. Now, when they go to the website, Derek, is the best way to hit the info button there? Is there an email, something that they could connect with that they could get you personally connected, whether they want to bring you in to have a conversation or just go a little bit deeper in their knowledge?
Yeah, there's a page in the back to contact. So you have the opportunity to type a little note and contact us. There's an email also that you can reach out to if you desire to do that.
Yeah. Well, again, this has been a great conversation today with Derek Massengale. His book, Business is a Calling, Bringing Your Whole Self, Body, Soul, and Spirit to Work, marketmakerministries.com. And we find ourselves here getting at the end of that 4 o'clock hour on this day, the 25th of March, 2024. But that's okay. I'm going to be back in a couple moments, the top of the 5 o'clock hour. Man, when we get to the top of the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to have another great conversation. And this conversation, much like the conversation we just had, is going to be talking about the importance of Jesus Christ in our lives. And we're going to talk about in the next hour with my guest, Pastor Lee Towns, about what it means to be able to be that person that God has placed into someone else's life strategically to then engage them. As you might know, just coming up on Sunday, the 31st is Easter, and there's no greater opportunity to invite a neighbor or a friend, a coworker, a family member, whatever it may be, into a worship service where they're going to hear the truth about who Jesus is, the one that changes everything, the one that calls us and puts us on mission. So don't go anywhere. We're going to talk about more there, the 5 o'clock hour. I know I've enjoyed my conversation already. I promise you, you'll enjoy our conversation later on in the 5 o'clock hour. But for now, thanks for joining me here at 4. We'll be back in a few moments here with The Drive Home with Brian Bales and WAVA 105.1.
Need a plumber? Need drain cleaning? Toilets not working? Call A-Action for Plumbing. Our plumbing team is awesome and clean. Call 703-922-1900.
Making Money Sense with Larry Rosenthal is heard Saturday mornings at 9 on Life-Changing Talk Radio, WAVA.
Listen to your favorite Christian programs anytime on the OnePlace app. Download and listen offline. Stream to your car or automated home device. Download OnePlace at Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Lives change here. You're listening to 105.1 FM, WAVA-FM, and HD1 Arlington. Life changing.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.